Sa serye na ito ay sari-saring mga anyo ng paghihirap yung ating tinalakay. And like I keep reminding you, ay sa bawat sufferer na yan, nagre-represent ng uri ng treatment ng society and how Christians should be able to transcend that treatment because of love. So love for sufferers, we included sa unang yugto natin, the lepers, representing the outcast, yung napapalayo sa lipunan. And then fighting for women, representing the oppressed. And we need by love to fight for those who are oppressed in society. And then caring for children, and the children representing the little, the small ones in society. At dapat tayong maging makalinga sa mga maliliit sa lipunan. And last time ay tiningnan natin yung visiting and caring for the prisoners. The prisoners are perhaps the most who can be treated with condemnation. Titreat natin ng pagkondena. And we saw in the like of Charles Colson, someone who loved the prisoners and cared and visited and ministered to them. Well, the last of these sufferers na titingnan natin ngayong umaga ay empowering the disabled. So yung mga may disabilities. And kung ang lepers, ay we tend to cast out the women, there are those we tend to oppress, there are those we treat like little in society, and those we tend to condemn, ang treatment sa disabled ay yun namang kabaligtaran. There is the treatment which in immediate, parang sa biglaan, parang maganda, but really, we will see is wrong. And that is condescending pity. Ang nagiging treatment natin sa mga disabled, yung uri ng awa na condescending. Well, yung nagiging parang patronizing yung ating treatment sa mga may disability. Now, let me begin by giving you a definition that is formal of disability. Yan po'y nasa inyong mga handout sa likuran. Based on the definition by the World Health Organization, no less, disabilities is an umbrella term covering impairments, activity limitations, and participation restrictions. An impairment is a problem in body function or structure. An activity limitation is a difficulty encountered by an individual in executing a task or action, while a participation restriction is a problem experienced by an individual in involvement in life situation. Thus, disability is a complex phenomenon reflecting an interaction between features of a person's body and features of the society in which he or she lives. So, sinabi na andyan yung mga impairment, limitations, restrictions. So, kumbaga, bigyan natin to ng konting illustration. You have here the level of the normal. So, merong gap for the disabled. So, what that gap is, yung kanyang disability, sabihin natin physical or mental, etc. So, kaya hindi siya makasabay dun sa mga normal is because of a disability that is physical, maring sa kanyang paggamit ng kanyang legs or hands or sa kanyang katawan, o maring mental from real mental retardation or yung mga dyslexic, etc. So yan yung mga disabilities. Now, the tendency is for us to feel pity for those who have disabilities, and as we shall see, feeling sorry for someone like the disabled is not the same as compassion. Compassion is different. At makikita natin yung pagkakaiba, yung feeling sorry, yung naawa ka lang sa isang may disabilidad, ay hindi ito katumbas ng kahabagan which we call Christian compassion. So condescending pity, in fact, can be dehumanizing of the disabled. So yan ang titingnan natin ngayon sa pair uli na ating pag-aaralan na story. But let me begin with an important Christian doctrine na pang-address natin dito sa idea ng disability. Tayo mga Kristiyano ay may doktrina tayo na ang tao ay body, soul. So yung kanyang humanity ay naka-rest hindi lamang sa kanyang body but the reality of the soul. Which means that we have a way of addressing the disabled that respects their humanity because whatever the defects ng body and including defects sa brain that affects his mind, ano man yung defects sa katawan, the soul remains intact. Huwag tayo mag-isip na yung kaluluwa ay maaaring maging lumpo o ano pa man. The soul remains intact even in the disabled. And because of that, we can treat the disabled as completely human, whatever yung abnormality ng kanyang katawan, ano man yung abnormality ng kanyang pag-iisip, ay hindi nawala yung kanyang pagiging isang kaluluwa. At sabi nga sa Biblia, yan yung talagang mahalaga. What shall a man have in exchange for his soul? Meaning, makuha mo man yung buong sanlibutan, sabi sa Mark 8, at mawala ang iyong kaluluwa, it's the biggest loss. So that means, even though something of the body is lost, ability to walk normally, ability to move normally, mawala man yun, hindi nawala yung pagiging kaluluwa ng tao. Kaya yung Kristiyano nga ang may mas angkop na pagdugon sa ganitong disabled people is because of our doctrine of the human soul. We can treat people, whatever their physical or other defects, ay matatrato natin sila ng buong-buong tao nang dahil sa kanilang kaluluwa. Yan ang pakatandaan natin. So let us consider here two stories, two people. Probably one is famous, kilala natin, pero umpisan ko doon sa mas hindi kilala, pero malaki ang nagawa niya para sa mga disabled. And this was Edgar James Helms. Edgar James Helms ay ipinanganak January 19, 1863. Ang kanyang mga magulang ay nagtatrabaho sa isang lumber camp in Malone, New York. Now, but in 1865, the family moved to Iowa. And at 15, isang hilig ditong si Edgar James Helms ay pagsusulat. Kaya na-involve siya ng maaga. At age 15, he apprenticed for the local paper. Then he attended Cornell College. A Cornell College is a staunchly Methodist institution. At wala akong nabasa nung kailan na convert itong si Helms. I will just assume that probably during these college years na nag-attend siya ng isang Methodist institution, maring dito niya na-encounter ang gospel at dito siya na-convert because during this period he began an interest in mission. Gusto niyang maging missionary. But still, andun yung kanyang hilig sa pagsusulat. So even though he was then attending Cornell College, he found it difficult to maintain himself sa college. Napilitan siyang tumigil pansamantala. And he launched two newspapers with another partner. In fact, nakilala siya sa kanyang pagsusulat ng mga very strong editorials on moral issues of society, particularly yung lumalalang sitwasyon ng drunkenness. Well, sa panahon natin ay mga drugs na, pero noon ang talagang bisyo ng mga tao ay drunkenness at malala ang problema sa pagkakalasing ng mga tao. At maraming editorial niya ay may kinalaman sa drunkenness to the point that when there were conferences and seminars against drunkenness, madalas siyang maanyayahan to represent itong issue against drunkenness. Then at one point, para makatuloy siya sa college, he sold both newspapers in order to support himself in college. He went back to Cornell, and this time he studied for the ministry. Later, he went to Boston University Theological School. So nag-aral siya ng theology. It was in this school na meron siyang schoolmate na kanyang naging kasintahan, pinakasalan, Jean Preston in 1892. And both of them were Christians who devoted themselves to supporting missions. Kumbaga, at this point, nakita na ni Helms na hindi siya talaga pang-missionary, so instead ay naging supporter siya ng mga missionaries, and he joined a Methodist church in Boston, which was called the Morgan Chapel, and na-involved siya among the deacons of this church, and his ministry focused on meeting community needs, especially yung mga obvious ones for children and the disabled. Dito na nag-uumpisa, even among the prostitutes ay nag-minister itong mag-asawa. In 1902, parang 2009, ay nagkaroon ng financial collapse dito sa America, and it resulted in a lot of unemployment. So there was much destitution in society, and it was an opportunity for Helms to minister to destitute people. At dito nagsimula yung kanyang isang idea, which will later on develop into what is known as the Goodwill Principle. Ang ginawa niya ay nagkolekta siya ng mga rejected items sa community, at nag-employ siya ng mga disadvantaged and especially disabled people para yung mga rejected items na yun ay ayusin at gawing saleable. And that became the method na ginamit niya, and he targeted talaga disabled people to his employment. At pinagbili niya, this was the beginning of what he called the Goodwill Industries and the Goodwill Principle. Now here is the Goodwill Principle na pinairal ni Edgar Helms. For disabled people, chance, not charity. Ibig niyang sabihin ng charity, hindi yung charity in the 1 Corinthians 13 King James Version sense. What he meant was yung ng pity, condescending pity. Ayaw niya ng ganun. Ang gusto niya ay bigyan ng dignity itong mga disabled people. So rather than looking at this as charity and give away, and that was what he rejected the most. He rejected giveaways to disabled people. He wanted them to feel self-respect. And dito nga nag-umpisa yung kanyang Goodwill Industries. Ito yung kanyang sinasabi lagi sa kanyang mga employees na sa inyong handout. Friends of Goodwill, be dissatisfied with your work until every handicapped and unfortunate person in your community has an opportunity to develop to his fullest usefulness and enjoy a maximum of abundant living. So ito yung kanyang hanggang ngayon. Merong pang mga Goodwill stores scattered in America and Canada na ito ang kanilang ginagawa. Collect rejected items, employ disabled people to fix these items and sell them and earn. At ito ang pinakaiingatan ni Helms, retain the dignity, sense of dignity of the disabled people. And one thing he noted was that the poor retained a large measure of self-respect and dignity if they were required to pay even a token amount for whatever was offered to them. So itong ginagawa natin pag tayo rummage sale dito sa ating church, we sell items at very low cost, pero the very idea that they pay for it, ito yung nagbibigay sa kanila ng sense of dignity. Hindi giveaway, ito yung masama sa sinasanay natin yung palagi ng giveaway. Well, napag-usapan natin to last time, there are cases when it's urgent and emergency, you have to give something away. Pero by principle, ang treatment sa mga dukha, sa mga mahihirap, and including the disabled, ay hindi yung charity na kawang-gawa lang bigay, kundi develop their sense of self-respect and dignity, and one way is for them to pay for it. No matter how token lang yung kanilang ibinabayad, yung bagay na binayaran nila ito ay nagbibigay sa kanila ng sense of dignity. So ito yung kanyang pinairal, and by 1905, the Goodwill Industries have expanded, and Helms incorporated its enterprises into the Morgan Memorial Cooperative Industries and Stores, which became very large. So Morgan Memorial, he named it after his church, the Morgan Chapel. In 1907, he formed the Morgan School of Applied Christianity. Ang dito pinag-aaralan yung mga practical courses para maging employable itong mga disadvantaged and disabled people. Hindi ito mga formal courses with degrees, kundi practical courses, siguro mga pananahi, etc., in order to make the disadvantaged and disabled people employable. And in fact, today, the Goodwill Industries is the largest private sector employee of disabled people in the world. You can access their website sa goodwill.org. I have statistics here sa kanilang report of 2008. In 2008, the Goodwill Industries served through employment and training programs 1,525,451 people. Workforce development services provided 10,490,787. People who earned a job with Goodwill help 172,317. Estimated total earnings of people who earned a job with Goodwill's help, $2.3 billion. And I can go on and on. You can imagine yung laki ng kanyang enterprise, which started small, helping these destitute people in that place in Boston. And isang bagay ito na dapat nating bigyang karangalan. In fact, Helms was given honor by a citation of the Extra Mile Award, and I read to you the citation on your handout. He founded Goodwill Industries in 1902 to help people with disabilities and disadvantages participate fully in society by expanding their occupational capabilities. To accomplish this mission, Helms created an innovative system whereby Goodwill collects used items from the community and sells them in Goodwill stores to fund its employment, training, and job placement programs. So that was the citation. And as we can see, even though Helms died in 1942, a generation after his death, still going on, still making impact on the lives of the disabled. Now let's move to the second story, perhaps, and I'm sure, much more famous sa atin. Johnny Erickson Tada, born in 1949 in Baltimore. Well, what we know of her is something that happened in an accident. On July 30, 1967, she was with friends having a picnic in Chesapeake Bay, and she nag-dive siya, una-ulo, and for more than a minute, she lay there, her head buried doon sa kanyang tinalunan. So bago siya nasagip, nagkaroon na ng damage yung kanyang katawan. And that accident left her a quadriplegic. Quadriplegic is paralyzed from the neck down. So hindi ito yung half na nangyayari pag stroke. Ito from the neck down, paralyzed. She has no feeling from the neck down. Hindi niya magagamit yung kanyang limbs, arms, or legs. And according to her testimony, for a long time, she struggled with depression. I mean, who would not if you were in her place? She struggled with depression at times to the point of being suicidal. Eh siguro, hindi nga siya makakilos kaya hindi makapag-suicide. Kailangan niya ng assistant. Eh, mahirap yun. Pero ang point ay, she was suicidal. And according to her own words, she suffered rebellious temper tantrums against God. Again, we are normal people trying to understand what's going on with her mind. And this is what she suffered. She rebelled against God. Yung mga questions niya, may mga available ngayon ng mga DVDs. You can watch her own testimony and they're really touching. And itong mga sinasabi niya at that point, she was questioning God, the goodness of God and everything. But a friend bore witness to her, and she was converted. And in fact, there was a point that she gained an insightful understanding of the physical side of the suffering of Christ on the cross. One thing that she had insight on was that Jesus, when he was on the cross, was quadriplegic. But when he was crucified, all his limbs were paralyzed. Kumbaga, Joni had this insight na what she was suffering now, Jesus suffered. And he suffered it for her. And so, yan ang isang naging gained insight ni Johnny. Well, one thing that Johnny was able to do, mula nung convert siya, she had a motivation to do something for God. And makikita natin dito, what Christian motivation can do, even for the disabled. So, she cannot use from the neck down, paralyzed siya. What did she do? She trained herself to use her mouth to paint. At makikita niyo ilimang some pictures of Johnny, ay meron siyang pencil or brush sa kanyang mouth. At ito ang kanyang pinang-drawing. Some of those sketches and drawings are for sale. Perhaps mahal yun because of her fame now. But that's what she did. Because of Christian motivation, even though disabled from the neck down, she was able to do something. Eh ngayon, makita mo yung mga nanlilimos o humihingi ng limos na kalalakas ng katawan, minsan mas malaki pa sa'yo, pero bumigay na sila. And the story of Johnny is such an inspiration. And she did not stop there. She founded in 1979, Johnny and Friends, which is a ministry for the world of the disabled. She became a very popular speaker. She's writing books. And I'm sure the way she would write it is dictate to someone who will type it for her. Probably her husband, Ken Tada. So her radio program is heard over 1,000 outlets. And in fact, in 2002, it was recognized as the radio program of the year. So again, try to imagine a person who has no use for her body from the neck down, and yet painting, speaking, author of more than 20 books so far, and used to impact thousands of people. In 2005, Joni was appointed to the Disability Advisory Committee of the State Department. So she's recognized worldwide. And she has been receiving numerous awards, recognition, and citations. In other words, she has become the face of a disabled who has overcome her disability. But let us not forget her Christian commitment and motivation. And in fact, Joni is especially effective in focusing on the hope of the future resurrection. Now listen to her words. It's on your handout. In her book, Heaven, Your Real Home, she said this, "I, with shriveled, bent fingers, atrophied muscles, knurled knees, and no feeling from the shoulders down, will one day have a new body, light, bright, and clothed in righteousness, powerful and dazzling. Can you imagine the hope this gives someone spinal cord injured like me? Or someone who is cerebral palsied, brain injured, or was multiple sclerosis? Imagine the hope this gives someone who is manic depressive. No other religion, no other philosophy promises new bodies, hearts, and minds. Only in the gospel of Christ do hurting people find such incredible hope." That's the doctrine of the resurrection. And that's something that really gives hope. Unlike yung mga deception ngayon ng immediate healing, resurrection really gives hope to people like Joni. And something we can use for the disabled. One time, Joni was attending an Episcopalian church. And part of the liturgy, everybody was to kneel. And she could not, of course. And she watched everybody knelt. And she remained standing. And tears just flowed from her eyes in self-pity. But it was in that context she wrote these words. And just in yung handout, The first thing I plan to do on resurrected legs is to drop on grateful, glorified knees. I will quietly kneel at the feet of Jesus. It's wonderful. One thing that you will encounter again and again in the writings of Johnny are the words, I can't wait. So let us summarize here why we should have compassion for the disabled like that of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus showed his sensitivity to the needs of those who are weak and provided for them. Matthew 15, verse 32, on the top of your handout. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. What we see here is the sensitivity of the Lord Jesus. And Christians must imitate Jesus' compassion for the weak. In the words of the Apostle Paul, we must give more than we receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And let us be reminded again, compassion is not being sorry for those who are weak. It's not being sorry for the disabled. It is being a strength that motivates, that enables the weak. So the Christian message and the Christian motivation, in fact, has that power to enable a disabled person like Johnny to overcome that disability, still do something out of her life, and not only that, to impact upon others. It is the Christian compassion that enables someone like Edgar Helms to have a sense for the dignity of the helpless and the disabled, that he thought of a way and a principle to retain that dignity amidst their disability. At sana yun ang ating maging sensitibong damdamin para sa mga nakapaligid na may hina sa ating lipunan. Any question, any thought you'd like to share in your own experience or perhaps yung mga bagay na maaaring katumbas ng pagtulong o compassion para sa mga may disabilidad? Any thought, G?
I understand, Pastor, with other churches, meron po silang ministry na yung mga deaf and dumb, yung walang pandinig at hindi makapagsalita. So yung preacher din nila talagang nag-aral kung paano makipag-communicate and to share the gospel through signs lang ng ano. And one more thing, yung si Chit Martin, yung friend namin na madalas kong kasama, madalas kaming maglalakad dyan sa may Baker Hall. And there was this, yung tinatawag nating mongoloid or Down syndrome. Ang Down syndrome ang mas acceptable na term sa kanila. Normally, takot kasi akong lumapit sa mga yon kasi parang hindi ko maalaman kung ako'y biglang yung igagrab niya yung kamay mo or whatever. So, si Chit, siya yung mas marunong sa mga behavioral na gantong problem. Sabi niya, huwag kang matakot. Mm. So, one time, mag-isa lang naman akong naglakad. Nilakasan ko yung loob ko na ngumiti doon sa mamang yon na may Down syndrome. So, he smiled back. Tapos, I started to extend my hand. Tapos, nag-shake hands kami. Ayaw niyang bitawan yung kamay ko. Di nagsisimula na akong matakot kasi ayaw niyang bitawan. Tapos, sabi niya, nung una hindi ko makuha yung sinasabi niya. Yung pala, he looked at me as a small child. Tapos, siya yung mas kuya. Sabi niya, kuya ako. Sabi niya, it was already dark. Tapos, sabi niya, yung tawagan mo ko mamaya ha. Parang iniisip ba niya na nakauwi ba talaga ako ng bahay, na I was safe. So nagulat ako na sinabi ko kay Chit Martin, sabi ko, sis, bakit ganun yung sinasabi niya, na kailan tawagan ko siya, na kasi ito yung mga behavioral na klaseng taong ito, may very affectionate daw sila. So instead na ako yung dapat magkaroon tayo ng heart for them na hindi tayo matakot sa kanila kasi talagang affectionate daw sila. Yung paghigit ng mga kamay sa atin, medyo matigas, mabigat. It's part pa rin ng pagiging affectionate nila. So, iyon.
Okay, thank you, G. That's a good insight. At isang magandang magawa natin is kung meron tayong ganitong mga makakasalimuha, read about their case, their condition, in order to know and how to minister to them. At dito sa church natin, kung magsimula tayo magkaroon ng mga umaaten ng deaf and mute, that will be a good ministry. May mga sa malalaking churches, may mga ganyan na as the pastor preaches, merong nagsa-sign language, kaya meron silang lugar para sa mga deaf and mute. Someone will put in sign language yung preaching. So if that happens to us, that would be a good ministry. Kaya sana meron na sa inyong magsanay sa sign language, mag-aral, magsanay, mag-sign language, baka malapit na. Tina.
Pastor, gusto ko lang pong i-share yung tungkol po kay Johnny Erickson Tada. Kasi ginamit po siya ng Panginoon sa akin din. Nabasa ko po yung unang-una nun. Parang 16 years old pa lang po ako nung mabasa ko sa yung kanyang book, yung nangyari po sa kanya. And nakita ko po doon kung paano din siya talaga nag-struggle. Johnny Erickson pa po siya noon. Iba po siya nakakapag-asawa. At sabi ko, nakita ko po yung mga na-paint niya na she can draw with her mouth. And then yung pong mga writings niya na basa ko, yung pong iba. And then yun din pong mga songs na naawit po niya.
Yeah.
Talagang na-encourage po ako noon at sabi ko ako normal pero siya at her age na noon parang teen pa rin po siya, diba, noon siya ay maaksidente. And yet na gamit siya ng Panginoon in a way na parang normal pa rin po siya. At sabi ko nga po noon, bakit hindi ko gamitin yung lahat ng ibinigay sa akin ng Panginoon na yung buong katawan ko na pwede niyang gamitin. So, yun po, naging encouragement para ako noon mas lalong mag-involve po ng lahat ng meron po ako na binigay ng Panginoon. Talagang masigasig po noon na sumama sa lahat ng mga Bible studies, sumali sa choir, magturo po. Kasi siya po yung talagang isa sa mga ginamit ng Lord sa akin. At saka yun po, nung hanggang ngayon po, pag may mga nababasa pa rin po ako tungkol sa kanya. At nung minsan po, narinig ko yung pong isang kung saan po ay nag-testify po siya. Lalo po akong parang sabi ko, ano pa yung pwede kong gawin na samantalang siya at her situation, nakita ko po yung dedication niya sa Panginoon at saka yung living testimony po talaga niya. So siya din po yung naka-encourage sa akin para magsulat.
Thank you, Tina. And talagang malakas yung dating na malaman mong ganito yung kalagayan niya and yet this is what she is able to do. And it rebukes you, it encourages you, it motivates you na anong magiging excuse mo if someone like her is able to do such tremendous things for the Lord. At gawin nating rebuke din sa atin at encouragement at the same time na maging masigasig para sa Panginoon. And she's a good speaker. Siyempre, hindi niya maikilos yung kanyang katawan. Not physically dynamic in that sense, but vocally good. As I've said, I have DVDs ng kanyang addresses, and she's a good speaker.
Pastor, yung isang ministry that we can support yung resources for the blind. Naririnig ko dun sa radio, yung RBI, they make available yung mga computers that are meant for blind people. So, especially for college students. So, natutulungan nila na makagawa ng mga assignments and requirements yung mga estudyante in college at nakakatapos sila dun sa kanilang mga courses. So I think that's one ministry that we can support.
Yeah, that's another possibility ng ministry sa ministry to the blind, both by computers or braille ministry. May mga Bibles na ngayon na braille, and we can, again, if we are given that opportunity, itong na pag-aralan natin tungkol sa mga disabled should motivate us to do something for them. Other thoughts? Ang inyong mga karanasan sa bagay na ito? Any other thought or questions? Ay, Tito Ike.
This is information what the government is doing for the disabled. There is a certain law now mandating the local government units and other agencies to allocate 1% of their budget for the benefits of the elderly and the disabled. Kaya ito ay yung mga halimbawa mga disabled na tao ay pwedeng kahit at the barangay level pwedeng bigyan sila ng tulong sa pamamagitan ng pagbibigay ng kung anong kailangan, livelihood project o kaya yung wheelchair o ano o gamot, ganun. Yan o ang kwan ng gobyerno. Also, we must also take note that sa mga lugar na ibang government buildings, mayroon na ho tayong parang daanan na para sa mga disabled. Yung mga pilahan, pati sa LRT, meron na para sa disabled. So, in short, our government is, I think, in line, behaving in line with the Christian doctrine of compassion for the disabled.
Okay, salamat po. Again, good information. Yes, we do have a law known as the Magna Carta for the Disabled, I think Republic Act 3227, among others, mandating yung ganung budgetary allocation, also to have disabled friendly access to the buildings. Ay, kung minsan nga lamang yung mga access na yun, makikita mo yung napaka-steep. Baka madoble yung disability ng disabled pag kaya we really need to be more sensitive sa mga ganung bagay. Remember the principle ng ni Edgar Helms ay retain the self-respect and dignity of the disabled people. Yes, Mikaya.
Meron po akong mga napanood na documentaries na there was one about a Ghanaian man na disabled po siya, hindi siya makalakad, I think because his legs are not fully developed. Eh, dun po sa Ghana ay may prejudice sa mga tao na pag disabled ka ay you are going to be a beggar. Yun lang po ang para sa ano. So he changed that. He got prosthetics and then he took a bicycle and went cycling around the country, I think, and raising money. So parang nagkaroon siya ng foundation. Ang pangalan ay Emmanuel's Gift, na parang talking to people, mga disabled na, pwede pa rin kayong magtrabaho, and he raising money for wheelchairs and all that stuff. Tapos another one ay isang medical student po na got involved in a train accident at naputol po lahat ng kanyang limbs. Ang naging trabaho niya po, na inspire po siya. After she graduated, ang kinuha niya po specialty ay therapist for mga ganong mga na-injure. So.
Okay, thank you, Mikaya. Do you know if any one of them was is a Christian? Yung taga-Ghana. Okay, so again, those are inspiring stories na yung prejudice sa mga disabled na beggar lang ang kahihinat na nila, eh, napakasamang prejudice noon. And we need, again, to recover Edgar Helms' principle that these people are to be treated with self-respect, retain their dignity, And as I said at the beginning, there's no theology that is better suited to that than yung Christian theology ng human soul. The fact na a person, whatever yung disability ng kanyang body or even brain, meron siyang soul, and that soul is intact, mas matitreat natin yung tao na yan na lubos na tao, a complete man, whatever the disabilities of the body. Esther.
Sa org po namin sa college, ang outreach program po namin ay pumunta kami sa School for Special Children. Tapos, nung first time na pumunta ako doon, sinubukan kong kausapin sila. Tapos, ang hirap pala kasi parang yung iba't ibang level sila ng doon sa mental disability. Tapos, yung mga sobrang extreme cases, hindi mo talaga sila makausap ng matino. Tapos, ang tanong ko po, paano kayo mag-share ng ebanghelyo sa mga ganong tao?
Well, it's a good concern, a good point. Siyempre, you have to take into consideration yung kanilang mental state and condition, yung ability nila to receive conscious thought. I'm not an expert doon. The best that I could say, because the gospel is about something that you need to know, you have to fit it to the condition of the ability of the person to actually know. Merong mga mental cases naman na hindi yung tinatawag na educable, you can still talk to them and give them conscious thought that they could receive. So siguro it's a matter ng alamin yung kanilang kakayahan to receive conscious thought and fit to the case. But again, as I said, I'm not an expert pagdating sa dealing with mental cases. I may be a mental case, but I'm not an expert sa dealing with mental cases. Or does anyone know or may experience kayo ng pakikipag-usap, pakikipag-ugnayan sa mga may ganung cases, mental or autistic or others? Any, Jojo?
I-share ko lang, Pastor, yung experience ko sa Quezon City noon. Yung bagong Christian po ako, na persecute ako eh. Pinalayas ako sa amin. So, napilitan akong tumigil sa pag-aaral. Nagtrabaho po ako sa Quezon City. Doon ko na-meet po yung mag-asawang Dulnuan. Putol po yung dalawang kamay niya. Tapos yung asawa niya, putol yung isang leg. Aksidente po. Sabi ko, paano kayo naging mag-asawa? Nag-meet po sila doon sa isang parang orphanage ba yun, o isang project ng Catholic. Yung tinatawag na tahanang walang hagdan. Tapos nalaman ko sa buhay niya na siya ay parang doon na nga lumaki. Pinag-aral po siya hanggang sa college, nakakuha siya ng fine arts. At magaling siya sa chess, Pastor, doon kami nagsimula eh. Ang galing-galing niya sa chess, Talagang bihira ko siyang matalo. Pag kumakain po siya, yung paa niya ang ginagamit niya. Pag nag-move sa chess, paa rin, po. At dahil po nag-work ako doon sa isang heritage sa company, puro painting po ito eh. Talaga mamahaling painting, na doon ko na-encounter yung mga greatest painter, sila Amorsolo, Legazpi, mga ganyan, po. Nagpipre, million, pati yung painting ni Juan Luna, ang napakaliit, nakita ko rin po yon. Talagang million po yung halaga. Nagpipaint po siya sa pamagitan ng paa niya at nag-exhibit siya. Tapos sabi ko, bakit ganyan? Sabi ko gano'n, paano kayo nagkaganyan? Yun nga po, tinulungan siya hanggang college, humawa siya ng fine arts, pati yung asawa niya. So ang nakita ko po doon, talagang yung mga ganitong institutions, sabi ko, kahit hindi tunay na mananampalataya, ginagamit ng Panginoon para po doon. At doon din po, parang na-motivate ako na lalong mag-struggle sa buhay pananampalataya. Kasi sabi ko, ito nga, hindi mananampalataya. Tapos, nag-succeed. Kilala na po siya ngayon kasi talagang mahusay siyang painter. So, sabi ko, yung ganito palang talagang mga institution sa pagtulong talagang importante. Ngayon, kung titingnan natin, Pastor, maraming institution po talaga na tumutulong. Ayan po yung kapwa mahal ko, Lingkod Bayan, Bisig Bayan, mga ganyan po. Marami silang hinihinging mga tulong para sa ganito pong klaseng tao. Pero sa level po natin, may magagawa tayo kahit hindi po tayo tumulong ng ganong kalaki. Kung titingnan po nyo sa mga South supermarkets, kahit sa mga lugar na yung open for public, may mga lata po dyan, may mga butas, ano po, pinaghuhulog po ng coins. Yun po ginagamit sa ganito mga project. Ano po. Tapos minsan yung mga can, yung sa drinks natin in can, yung pong ears nun yung pang opener, yun po ay iniipon at pinagpapalit po ng wheelchair yun. Kaya kung meron po tayo maiipong ganon, ilagay po natin doon sa kanilang mga, isang glass na malaki po yun, iniipon po yun, inaano daw po sa wheelchair yun. Tapos ako lang po bilang driver, may mga disabled, talagang tinitigilan ko na sinasakay ko, siya nililibre ko na po. At kung isan tatawid, tulungan sa pagtawid, mga ganon po ba? Ayun.
Okay, thank you, Jojo. At again, ipapaalala sa atin doon na yung potentiality ng ating humanity, you lose one normal ability, it doesn't mean na you lose all the potential. So, hindi mo magamit yung arms, magagamit mo yung paa sa pagkain, pag-chess, pag-drawing. I can't imagine what potentials are possible even if you lose the normal ones. But we should never give up on the disabled because of what potentials they can attain when given due respect. Any other thought, Tamayla?
Kung i-expand ko ng konti yung application itong empowering the disabled, pwede ko bang sabihin na ang maraming Pilipino ay parang tinatratong disabled in the sense somehow? At ang the way the society, the government, and especially these politicians are treating them is like, condescending? Ano yun, Pastor?
Condescending pity.
Pity. At pwede ko rin bang sabihin na biblically ay mali siya dahil yan, parang from TV programs to mga social works, parang lahat ibibigay na lang, libre na lang. Paano natin titingnan din ang mga iboboto natin in this light? So parang dalawang tanong ko, tama ba yung pagtingin na yon? At saka paano natin, kasi kung titingnan natin yung mga advertisement campaign ng mga politiko, parang pulos target lahat, parang ang dating ibibigyan. Sabi nung mga kausap ko, kay ganito ako kasi bibigyan niya kami ng bahay. Ganito kasi yung mentality ng mga Pilipino, ng maraming Pilipino, sorry.
Yeah, tama yun. We should avoid any patronizing treatment of our neighbor, and whether disabled or normal, patronizing treatment is dehumanizing. Kung minsan yung mismong tinatrato ng ganun, tumutugon na. Kumbaga, he follows the way he is treated. And that will be wrong. Kaya tama yung ganung maging sensitive tayo sa pagtrato ng ganun, especially coming from those in politics. Madalas yan sa mga bayan-bayan na patronage politics ang umiiral. And we have to say that it is wrong. Now, kung sino yung mas karapat-dapat, siyempre yan ang ating pagdidesisyonan. Sige, baka may masabi pa ako. Sige, G.
Nung kami mga bata, Pastor, magaling kaming maglibang ng sarili namin sa mga disabled. So I want this for, especially for the children, kasi mismong yung mga pinsan namin na pagka medyo nasiraan na ng bait, nagbabae pero nagta-traffic sa plaza, yun gano'n. So instead, yung mga bata na sana magkaroon ng compassion na para sa mga disabled, sana yung ginagawa ng ibang bata, kasi nakikita ko rin sa mga anak ko minsan, pinagkakalibangan sila. So kung duling, ay talagang instead na maawa, nagduduling-duling. And then parang pagkatuwaan sila. Maraming napagkakatuwa ang disabled, especially for mga youth na mismong normal ang pakiramdam, ang pinagkakatuwaan yung mga disabled.
Oh, tama yun. At tayo mga magulang, dapat turuan natin yung ating mga anak na hindi maging mapang-insulto sa mga taong may disabilidad. Tandaan natin yung nangyari doon sa mga batang ito, nanlibak kay Elisha, di ba? Hindi nga disability yun, nagkataong kalbo. Yun ang pinagtawanan at it shows only what that this is sin. So kayong mga bata, huwag ninyong gagawing katatawanan yung may mga kapansanan, yung mga pilay, mga hindi makalakad ng maayos, huwag ninyong gagawing katatawanan. Any other thought? Some last thoughts? Mayla?
Lagi ko sinasabi sa mga bata, pag nagdi-deal din ako sa mga ganitong issue, kasi yung culture nga ng Pilipino, parang laging umaasa, humihingi, kahit malalakas. Tracing from history, sinasabi ko sa kanila, nakita ko rin kasi ito sa Africa, ang mga taong parang nasa third world, parang medyo napamper ng mga nag-colonize sa kanila. Natingin kasi nila sa limbawa sa mga Pilipino na brown, parang sila ethnic, mga mabababang uri. Tingin nila sa mga Afrikano, mga itim, mabababang uri. Parang awang-awa sila sa normal na buhay na nasa gubat, kumakain ng gulay at prutas. Bibigyan nila ng bibigyan ng kung ano-ano. So parang nadalan ng mga tao yung mga ganong culture, kaya lagi nila silang umaasa. Pero sa kabilang, sa Western world, talagang ang pagtanggap at paghingi noong araw, ngayon hindi na rin, ay parang talagang nakakababa ng kanilang dignity. So sana tayo consciously, kahit sa mga anak natin, puro natin na pag binibigyan, magpasalamat tayo, tumanggap. Sino ba namang hindi natutuwang makatanggap ng regalo or ng tulong, pero sana may kaunting dignity tayo sa sarili natin.
Yeah, it's a good point sa ating kultura. Lalo na yung mga kultura kagaya ng sa Pilipinas na meron tayong colonial past, and ours is a very long one. Madali sa atin yung umasa at isiping somebody will do it for us, yung mga nakakataas sa halip na maging self-reliant. So self-reliance is not a prominent character ng culture ng mga Pilipino. Well, we are a very resilient people. So yung pag may hirap, nakaka-adjust tayo sa hirap. Pero yung self-reliance is not very much a character of Filipinos. Makikita niyan maski sa mga ordinaryong bagay. Alam niyo, sa ibang bansa, very basic na instinct na pagkakain mo, ikaw magtatapon ng iyong pinagkainan dito, iiwanan, somebody will do it for you. Basic things like that show yung character ng Pilipino na not self-reliant, and we need to arise from that kind of culture. We have, as they say, a damaged culture sa bagay na yon, and we need to transcend that. Maraming Africans ganyan din because yung kanilang karanasan ng slavery. They were treated like slaves, and many of them act like ones. Any last thoughts? One thing that the New Testament uses as a figure ng conversion is the enabling of the weak. From our weakness, tayo ay nabigyan ng enabling ng Panginoon. So in a sense, spiritually, we were the disabled ones whom the Lord, by the gospel, has enabled. And in that sense, dapat meron tayong tamang attitude towards the disabled and towards those we tend to patronize. Dapat tanggalin natin yung ganung mga attitude. Let us remember the inspiration from Edgar Helms: treat the disabled with dignity. Treat them with retain their self-respect. And from Johnny Erickson Tada, the thought that a disabled person can do something, can do much for the Lord. What can you and I, as normal people, we should be able to do much for the Lord. So with that thought, let's close in prayer. Maraming salamat, Panginoon, sa mga pinag-aralan naming mga salaysay ng kahabagan at nawa sa pamamagitan ng mga patutuong ito ay naging inspirasyon sa amin, naging encouragement at pagsaway din na kaming mga binigyan mo ng mas normal na abilidad, malimit ay nagiging maangal at naghahanap ng maraming bagay, samantalang nakita namin sa katulad ni Johnny ang isang disabled yet someone who was able to transcend her disabilities and is going on in her service to the Lord with much impact upon others. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage us in this light. Kung may mga taong may kahinaan nasa aming paligid, naway maabot namin sila ng totoong kahabagan, not feeling sorry for them, not a condescending, patronizing pity, but one that strengthens them, one that retains their self-respect and their dignity. And help us also, Lord, na makita namin ang aming ding kalagayan sa aming kultura bilang mga Pilipino na malimit ay umaasa lamang sa gagawin sa amin ng mga may kapangyarihan at nawa ay matuto kami ng pagsisikap sa aming sarili. Teach us self-reliance. And help us, Lord, in our treatment of our fellow human beings to have that biblical teaching that every man has a soul. And that whatever the defects of the body, the soul remains intact, and we have reasons to deal with each person as a complete human being. And may we be able to do so with that example of the Lord Jesus, who was sensitive to the weak. And we pray that you would give us that same sensitivity and that ability to understand the conditions of those who have weakness and disability, and be able to provide strength and even learn from them and be inspired by them. So we commit all these things to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen.